3 Tuscans dead in the yard, then those that took off into the hills. Vika just called. She lost him up at the Roya Rift.
Mullen looked keenly at his father.
I figured you'd want me to call off the hunt. They're on their way back.
Warren snorted.
Well, don't miss old Pluggy too much. Next time breakfast rolls around.
He stopped. A woman's anguished sobs echoed through the house.
The owner. Is she all right?
She's out front with the old man,
Mullen said.
She's pretty shook up.
Imagine so.
Warren looked up. Who's with her now?
I said, the old man.
Warren gawked.
The dead old man? He threw the fragments to the ground. I told you to make sure someone was with her, Mullen. And you thought I meant her dead father?
Mullen simply stared.
Mullen, I swear!
Orin grimaced and jabbed 2 fingers at the bridge of his son's goggles, clonking his son's head against the door.
Really?
The young man said nothing as his father marched back to the landspeeder. Finding his twill half-cape behind the passenger seat, Orin draped it over his shoulders and turned to face the house. This isn't going to be easy. The sight of dark-haired Tyler Bazzard cradling the old man on the stoop took his breath away. It was grisly what the raiders had done. It had to be Plug-Eye. But what chilled him more was how the young woman seemed not to care about the state of her father's body. Without looking up, she sensed Orin's approach.
Someone's come, Daddy.
Orin took off his hat and instinctively knelt beside her. He'd known the woman when she was a child. Her father, Lotho Pelhane, had been a hand on Orin's family ranch for 20 years. Before Lotho struck out on his own, Tyla and Orin's kid used to play together. Orin placed his cloak over Tyla's shoulders. As he did, she buried her head in his chest and bawled.
I know, Tyla. I know,
he said, embracing her.
It's a blasted thing, all right.
He looked down at the corpse, still awkwardly slumped against her lap. Lotho Pelhane still had a weeks-old bandage around his head, a surreal sight given the mess that was made of the rest of him. Warren looked away. Tyler whimpered.
I tried to remember, Master Galt.
Warren.
I tried to remember. You sold us the alarm and the activator,
she said, showing him the remote control device in her hand. She was clutching it almost hard enough to crush it.
I was so scared, she gasped. I couldn't remember how to turn on the local alarm at first.
It's all right, he said.
The settler's call worked just fine. We got your signal, and we came right here. Gently, Orin pulled her away from the stoop, allowing Lotho's body to almost imperceptibly slip away from her. You did just fine. Your husband and your boy are safe. We got the Tuscans.
I don't care!
She looked down at her dead father.
I don't want to stay here. Not anymore.
Orin pulled back from Tyla and brought her upright, squeezing her shoulders in his firm hands.
Now listen. I knew your father. You know Lotho wouldn't want to hear this.
He wasn't any more scared of Tuscans than he was of his own shadows. She looked down at the bandage on her father's head and sniffled.
They nearly got him last month, you know. Knocked him down one night at his place. It's why he came to stay with us. But he was getting better. He said he'd gotten away once, so he thought he was safe.
That's right. And you made this place safe with the call. You did the right thing.
She wept again. Orin just waited. He'd been here too many times before, though less often lately.
This was bad, no accounting for it. But we got a bunch of them, and we'll get the rest of them.
And
it'll get better. You understand?
She pulled away, suddenly angry.
What do they want? They're monsters. Tatooine's got sand, and it's got monsters,
Oren said. He looked over to see Mullen standing with the burial detail. Now I'm going to check on that husband and son of yours. These folks will take care of your dad. Until we get you back to the Oasis. And Aline Cowell will put you up there tonight. Tyler nodded weakly and began walking, still oblivious to the bloody mess her tunic had become. Oren looked skeptically at his son as she went out of earshot. Can I trust you to take care of this woman for 5 minutes without sending her into another conniption? Mullen spoke in a low voice.
Sure, sure. But weren't you going to ask her about Plug-Eye? You said you...
Where's my hat? Oren looked around on the ground. I need something to hit you with. Now go! Oren found Teleco Bizard, the young owner of the homestead, at the machine shed, surrounded by a buzz of activity. The rest of the posse had returned. The grown-ups in the group, a distinction defined more by good sense than age, had tackled, without delay, the list of things that always had to be addressed in these cases. Though the posse was officially leaderless, Oren had always been the one to take charge in the past. He was glad now to see that so much of his advice had stuck. Some folks were in the house cleaning up. Others were fixing the vaporators. Still others were gathering the goods the Bizards would want for their stay at the Pika Oasis. They were working, even knowing they were missing out on important hours in their own fields. And then there was his daughter, Vika, and her junior satellite, Jabe Calwell, sitting on crates with a flask out, drinking under the morning suns. Oren knew it wasn't water. After all, Vika was drinking it. Since her twin brother's death, the 21-year-old had decided to do all the living he'd missed out on. And Jabe, at 16, Oren's newest farmhand, was doing his best to keep up with her. They were in the middle of describing how they'd killed one of the sand people to Teleco, who sat numbly as he bobbled his unknowing baby on his knee. The farmer's blaster sat on the sand nearby, unfired. When Vika noticed her father's approach and grim expression, she grinned awkwardly.
Whoops. Sorry, she said, quickly passing the flask to Teleco. Here, bunny. Drink up.
The frazzled young farmer looked blankly at the container. Oren rolled his eyes and barged in.